Light the candle, tiger!
Hello and a very warm welcome to this week's Racing Post Golf Postcast. I'm Dave Clark of the Racing Post. We're in good company this week as well from our friends at Star Sports. We have Glenn Day on the line. Glenn, how are you?
Yeah, very well. Thank you, Dave. You?
I'm very well. A week off last week for you. Where was you? Anywhere nice?
Yeah, just recharging the batteries. A few days out here and there. I was just saying to Steve, a couple of days on essentially a floating house in Essex, Morden in Essex. No electricity, no people. It's just fantastic. 2 days of total solitude. So, yeah, recharge the batteries there and they saw the week out at home. Yeah, ready to go again.
Well, I'm sure you cast an eye on what was going on the golf scene anyway and are fully prepared for this week's action. And, of course, our very own Steve Palmer is on the line as well. Steve, how's things?
Yeah, not bad. Thanks, Dave. We were close again last week with no cigar. We had Wyndham Clark sort of teased us in the 3M Open. He was leading with six holes to play, our 150-1 headline selection, but ended up finishing fifth. Adam Hadwin finished fourth. Brian Harman finished seventh. Paul Waring finished seventh as well in the Irish Open. So, yeah, we were peppering the pins, but no cigar.
Knocking on the door, Steve. I'd put that as knocking on the door. And the winner, I'm sure, is round the corner. I'll stick with you, Steve, and let's talk last week then. Rambo shoots a 62 in the final round.
Yeah, an amazing weekend. You know, and he just made the cut and then flies at the weekend, 64, 62. He just comes over and bullies European Tour fields, doesn't he? His record in European Tour events is staggeringly good. He has a big downgrade from what he's used to on the US Tour, and he comes over even cockier than he normally is. And once Rafa Cabrera Bello got him in his rear view mirror, it was all over, really, wasn't it? Because Cabrera Bello, very brittle, notoriously brittle finisher, and it's the worst possible person for him to have on his tail. So John Rahm was does what he always does in European Tour. I'm kicking myself a little bit. Yeah, it's pretty obvious. Pretty obvious choice. It's just fractionally short, too short a price for me. But he's got a good record at bullying links courses when there's no wind around. It's very, very benign weather last week, and he won the Irish Open in almost exactly the same fashion as he won in 2017.
And it would have been a huge price in running, I'm sure, Steve. As you say, you sort of only just made the cut.
Yeah. Real come from behind effort, and he won it cosily in the end. It's just astonishing the way the tournament unfolded, and quite dull in comparison to the 3M Open, which was probably one of the best tournaments of the season. Did you see that one, Dave?
I did see the end. I mean, I don't know if anyone's picked Bryson DeChambeau's jaw up off the floor yet when that eagle putt went in the last. That was something else, Dave, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, but both tournaments were good in their own way, but the 3M Open was staggering. You had two of the best young players in the world, these newcomers in Matt Wolff and Colin Morikawa, and then, Bryson obviously thought he'd done at least enough to get in a playoff when he held that eagle putt. And then he was off to prepare for the playoff if one was going to be needed. And then, that was quite hilarious, wasn't it? An amazing week's golf. I mean, I thought at one stage we were going to have a 400-1 winner. I don't know whether you were following the progress of Grant Forrest.
Yeah, very much so.
He was in the lead in the early stages of the third round. And I thought, oh, thank you, God, here we go. This is the saviour. But eventually finished 14th. But yeah, I do feel that we're getting closer to the breakthrough.
Just a quick word on the Wolf, Steve. I mean, well, describe his swing for us first. The start of it's like a supercharged Jim Furyk job.
Yeah, that's it. It's unconventional to say the least. You know, Jim Furyk on steroids has been the line doing the rounds, and where he gets that power from, it's incredible. He's just physically, he's a beast, isn't he? A really stocky, powerful athlete, and he generates amazing length. He's up there with Cameron Champ in the driving distance stats. Matt Wolff, we'll come to him later in the John Deere Classics. He's playing again this week, and I think he's got a fantastic chance of success. Massive future ahead.
And the youngest player, or the youngest winner on the tour since Jordan Spieth, I think he's only 20.
That's right, yeah. And anyone who wins at that age on the US Tour goes on to be a major champion, multiple major champion. I mean, yeah, to make that impact this early on the US Tour bodes extremely well for Wolfie. I mean, I know he's got an unconventional swing, but yeah, we're looking at a potential superstar here.
Indeed. What about the Wolf Pack following him with all the howls in the crowd? Enjoy that?
Yeah, yeah, very jealous. Yeah, yeah, I'd love to be part of the Wolfpack one day soon. If I could afford a...
Why not? You can be part of it right now, Steve. If you want, do you want to give us your own...
Well, there's plenty of time for that. Right. I want to have a good chat about him in the John Deere Classic.
Oh, sounds like he might be amongst Palmer's picks then in that case. Glenn, you was obviously, well, in the middle of nowhere by the sounds of it. Did you manage to follow any of it? Have you looked back on any of last week's golf?
Yeah, no, I mean, I did actually watch half an hour of the Irish Open. Obviously, where we were, the reception was no good, so I knocked out on the edge. I didn't see much of that, unfortunately. But yeah, I did see the finish on Sunday in America. Yeah, quite amazing finish. And obviously, DeChambeau, good battle to get back. Obviously, put yourself in with a chance. But the two young lads, Wolf and Morikawa, got to mention him. We gave him a mention a few weeks ago in the US Open. Another talent who looks sure to win tournaments on the tour in the weeks to come. So, yeah, a good group of young players coming through all at the same time at the moment. Exciting times.
Now, just quickly, I'll stick with you, Glenn, because, I mean, you say they're coming through, but they've not been going off short prices. But then we switched to this week, and all of a sudden they're at the head of the betting.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, I mean, that's what I was going to say, actually. It's funny. The top five now, I mean, Streelman's a non-runner. The top five in the betting are all aged 22 and under. Personally, I can't remember last time, if ever. But all there, deservedly. I mean, John Deere Classic, it's always a fairly weak event. You get the odd guy turn up with good credentials. Molinari played here last year. It's not got any real depth. You're looking for these types of guys. But obviously, with what they've done in recent weeks, they've all found themselves their way to the top of the betting. So I think rightly so. Do you go with them or do you look at his value elsewhere? That's the decision you got to make.
Okay, well, they're all lining up in the John Deere Classic, but we'll first look at the Scottish Open, which is at a new track this week, Steve.
Yeah, that's right. It's the Renaissance Club, which only opened in 2008. So normally we go to these links venues and they've been around for donkey's years. This one opened in 2008, a modern links. It's actually got some trees on it as well, which to the purist is disgusting. You know, it's not a pure links track, but it's got some trees. Heavy rough to punish the seriously errant, but quite wide fairways in between that rough. It's been raining a lot lately at this venue. We must mention that the weather, a bit more rain to come as well. So I think that'll take a lot of the sting out of the fairways. It's going to be very calm during the tournament. So, I can see big hitters finding this a fairly straightforward venue from tee to green. But the real test is close to the hole. You know, really, really heavily contoured, undulating greens. So, a serious short game challenge this week.
Scrambling. We're looking for scramblers.
We're looking for scramblers, absolutely, yeah.
Okay, brilliant. There's an excellent line on the website of the course, which was sort of along the lines of barely any land has been moved in the construction of this course. So the fact that the trees are still there, it is basically a golf course just plotted onto a bit of land.
Yeah, there's not that many trees, to be fair, but and it is a coastal track and normally is fast running. So it is a links course, but just not as pure as I would like.
Okay, Glenn, well, give us a show from Star Sports then for this one.
Yeah, certainly. The first seven this week, pushing the boat there a little bit. 6-1 favourite, Rory McIlroy. 14-1, Ricky Fowler. 16-1, Matt Kuchar. 18, Justin Thomas. 20, Henrik Stenson. 25, Matt Wallace and Cabrera Bayo. 28, Eddie Pepperell. And 30-1, Matt Fitzpatrick and Cyril Hatton.
Steve, quite a few big names at the head of the betting there with the Open around the corner, of course. Are you with anyone near the head of the betting for the main pick this week?
No. Number one choice is Haotong Li. We talked about the key attribute this week being a sharp short game. There's few better on the European tour than Haotong Li. I mean, this boy has got magic hands. He's a great chipper. He's a fantastic putter. And the soggy conditions, which I think we're going to get this week, won't bother him either. He's developed into one of the longest drivers on the European Tour. It's fair to say that Lee is becoming world class. You know, he's only 23 years of age and he's still improving. And he's shown a liking to Lynx golf in the past. His fine around 63 in the 2017 Open at Birkdale was sensational. He followed that up last year with a 66 at St Andrews, fine around 66 for fifth spot in the Dunhill Lynx Championship. And then last week, ideal warm up. Close with a 66 again for 15th place in the Irish Open. Nice little spin that. I like players this week who played last week in Ireland. Got used to links conditions and Hao Tonglie is my number one selection. I think he'll win his third European Tour title on Sunday.
Okay, and you reeled off sort of a handful of tournaments there. His links experience, is that it? I mean, he couldn't have played surely that on that many occasions on links courses, is he?
No, that's it. He hasn't played in many, and when he has, he's done well. And that final round, 63 at Birkdale, I was there for that one. You know, jaws were dropping in the media centre as he threatened to sneak. Yeah, he threatened to win that tournament at one stage, and then obviously Kuchar and Spieth got their acts together. But Hao Tonglie, I think that the reason he's been performing so well on links tracks is his short game. Yeah, around the greens, he is deadly.
Brilliant, brilliant. Okay, what price is he with Star Sports, Glenn?
Hao Tonglie is 35-1.
35-1, lovely. And who do you like this week, Glenn?
I'm going for someone also played last week. Guy I seem to mention every week in some capacity or other. Bernd Wiesberger. Form is improving each week after an interrupted season last year with a well-documented wrist injury. Won in Denmark earlier in the season, almost from nowhere, but he's continued to back that up. Last eight finishing the Belgian knockout, 16th at the BMW International Open, where he shot a 65 on the Sunday, and obviously tied second last week in Ireland on the links. Four rounds in the 60 he shot there. Strongest category for the Austrian this year is his greens in regulation. And he was ranked number one in putting for green in regulation in Denmark, which obviously will be a key factor this week. Where are we going here? Scottish Open form figures, excuse me, are only average, but his Daniel Links form is 12, 14, 4 and 7, which suggests he's okay on Links courses and also playing in Scotland. He's the kind of guy for me. With a lot of the top of the European players flying their trade in America these days, he's more than capable of winning 3, 4 or 5 tournaments in a season. And perhaps this week will be number two in 2019 for the big Austrian.
Okay, and what price is he with Star Sports?
We've got him in at 33s.
He's a 33-1 chance. And of course, Glenn, I didn't ask you, what sort of grade are we giving this
we're seven. Quite strong for the European Tour, obviously. The front five, all currently on the PGA Tour, but fairly strong at the top end of the market, yeah.
So solid seven.
Yeah.
Okay, excellent. Better than the four that you gave one of the tournaments last time we spoke. Right, we've got Hao Tonglie in, Steve, at 35-1 with Star Sports. Who's your next pick?
Next best is Jorge Campillo. Who had an excellent amateur career, big things expected. It's taken him a while to get going. He's in his early 30s now, but he's making an impact big time now. Won his maiden European Tour title in the Hassan Trophy at the end of April. And that had been coming. He was twice runner-up in March, Oman Open, Qatar Masters. Then he was third in the Indian Open before finally making that breakthrough. And since then, finished third in the China Open, third in the Golf Sixes alongside Nacho Elvira. And in the last fortnight, he's found top gear again, 15th at Valderrama. And then last week, he closed with a 66 for 7th place in the Irish Open. So a lovely warm-up spin. Don't think Jorge Campillo is getting the respect he deserves. He's 5th in the race to Dubai. And I cannot find a reason why he won't contend again this week.
Okay, he played some beautiful golf at Valderrama, didn't he?
Very much so, yeah. We were on him for that. He finished tied 15th, so no good for the each-way money. But I think Campillo was destined to be a good player, and it's taken him longer to get there, but now he's delivering.
Okay, brilliant. What price is Campillo with Star Sports, please, Glenn?
I do say. I think he's 55-1, but the page won't load up at the moment, and I don't generally print out the second page. I think it's about 55-1 this week.
Okay, got a big prices already for Steve. Who else do you like this week, Glenn?
I've also got Campillo in my list, so I might as well stick him up a second. Steve's done a lot of work there. Just having a fantastic season. He played good golf at the end of last year. Dodgy start of the season, but has taken off again recently, gained his first win. He's shown he can play links golf, 7-9 in last week. He's 8th at Castle Stewart in 2016. So again, no reason why he shouldn't have a big week again this week.
Okay, so you've already given us two in your team. Before we get bigger price fancies, I'm sure. Let's whiz through a couple of those at the head of the betting, and if you're not with them, why not?
Yeah, yeah. Rory McIlroy obviously is the 6-1 favourite. Yeah. Not a price that particularly excites me. I mean, it's a massive week for McIlroy. Next week is Open Championship in his home country. I just don't see how he can be fully focused on the Scottish Open. Renaissance, as we've said, is a track that examines your short game, and that's a McIlroy weakness. So obviously, the favourite can win, but he's not for me at the prices. Again, Ricky Fowler and Matt Kuchar, you know, both world class Americans, but neither of them have won a major. Yeah, that their minds must be wandering to Royal Portrush. I think Fowler and Kuchar, short price is not for me. Justin Thomas, quite interesting. He got his ball striking back in the Travelers Championship last time.
Is he over
out.
That wrist injury, do we think?
Ball striking wise, it seems to be the case. Yeah, he struck the ball really well, but his putting has been poor since he came back. So, and his links record is not great. So, yeah, none of the market leaders appeal to me.
Okay, that's fair enough. Who does?
Three more at juicy prices.
Go on.
Paul Waring, who did us a turn last week with a share of the seventh place, booked his Open Championship spot in the process. So, he's absolutely buzzing about that. He's a Birkenhead man, links natural, and he's been superb this season. Early on in the season, finished sixth in the Abu Dhabi Championship, third in Dubai. He was sixth in the British Masters in May on a links course. So I'm sticking with Waring at a juicy price again this week. Brandon Grace is an interesting one. He didn't play last week. He's the only one of my selections who didn't play last week. He's not been seen since missing the cut in the US Open. He's not really done much since finishing second in the Phoenix Open in February behind Ricky Fowler. But I'm just taking a gamble that he might have found something in his time off since the US Open. It's a gamble based on his fantastic links record. He's won two European Tour events on links terrain, including the 2012 Dunhill Championship in Scotland. He was second in the 2013 Scottish Open at Castle Stewart. His lone US Tour victory was at the Harbour Town Links. And he famously shot a 62, which was the lowest major round in the 2012 Open at Birkdale. So I think a return to links combat may revive Brandon Grace. And then the final one is Grant Forrest. We're going to stick with him. He finished 14th last week, gave us a good run for our money. He's half the price this week, but that's completely understandable because he's playing in his hometown of North Berwick, knows the course. And we've got golf punters have only got one piece of form to go on this week, one piece of course form. That was the 2017 qualifier, final qualifying for the 2017 Open Championship. Forrest finished second in that. Finished one shot behind the leader, Sam Locke. He's proven on this course, knows the course, links natural. And last week I was really impressed because he got a bad draw. I was disappointed when he got John Rahm for his two-ball partner on the final day. Obviously a lot of pressure comes with that, but he handled it well, shot 68. I think Forrest is the best of the Scottish contingent this week.
Okay, well, look, maybe one to look out for in that market. I'm sure there'll be some specials out there, top jock. Right, Glenn, have you got some prices for those? I mean, they're going to be massive, some of them. Paul Waring, Brandon Grace, and Grant Forrest.
Yeah, got 66 Brandon Grace, 70-1 Paul Waring, and 150-1 Grant Forrest.
Lovely. And does anything else catch your eye in the Scottish Open this week?
Yeah, unfortunately, I've got a few more. I'll keep it short, though, because we've been here all day. Next selection is Eddie Pepperell. Loves links golf. Three good finishes this year, third at Sawgrass in the Players' Championship, second in the Masters, British Masters, and fourth in the Irish Open, obviously highlighting his love of links. Second place finish in the 2015 Irish Open, also eighth there in 2016. Scottish Open form, although played on different tracks, 12th, missed cut, 4th, 54th, 2nd, throwing a 6th for the 2018 Open at Carnoustie. Four top 10s in events played in Scotland, three of those in the last four tries. Recently in the top 5 in driving accuracy in the last 5 events, twice top 7 in greens in regulation, and last week also 3rd in putts per green in regulation. Yeah, all parts of his game are coming together. As I say, loves links golf, and I'll see another good week in store for the likeable Englishman.
Yeah, he's clearly in good form, is Eddie Pepperell. What price is he, and anyone else joining your team this week?
Yeah, Eddie Pepperell is in there at 28-1. A couple more to throw in. Unlike Steve, I do still like Matt Kuchar. He just doesn't stop playing well for me. Just on a great run of form. The only blip was in the Memorial when he missed the cut. He went there with fantastic form figures, and unfortunately for him, I put him up and he managed to miss the cut. Come back since then with a fourth in Canada, 16th in the US Open. Always plays well when he comes over here. Four previous Scottish Opens, 10th in 2011, second 2015, fourth in 2017. He did miss the cut last year, but so we've had a different track this year. He can throw in three top tens in the Open, and obviously including that slightly unlucky second at Birkdale. Lynx Golf seems to bring out the best in Kuchar, and might be a little skinny at the price, but yeah, I think he'll play well again this week. And another guy who's returning to form, Andy Sullivan. Talked about players who played well last week. Obviously, he posted a second place finish. Had been struggling a little bit earlier on in the season, but has found a bit of form at Andalusia recently. Obviously, the Irish Open last week. Driving actually wasn't great last week, but his short game was in much better order. Fourth in scrambling and seventh in putts for green in regulation. Again, putting, as we've said, will be a key this week. Last six events in Scotland have produced four top 12 finishes in a sixth and a ninth in this event in 2016 and 2017. I see it pointed out somewhere that obviously through last week's good performance, his price has contracted quite a bit, which I do take that on board. But a player coming into form, I like to follow those sort of guys, so I can see him putting up a decent show again. And the last one doesn't need much introduction. I'm only throwing him in, but I fully agree with what Steve said. But I'm putting McIlroy in as a win-only selection. But if he does turn up, whether he's here to win or to hone his game for next week, is there. But if he's in there with a chance to win, obviously he'll try and see it through. So obviously putting up six players, I'm putting up as a win-only, as basically as a saver. Obviously, Wilder's been in fantastic form, only twice outside the top 10 this season, two wins. Yeah, when he's on his game, he probably is the best player in the world. So, little saver, win only. McIlroy to complete my portfolio.
Okay, Glenn, just quickly before we move on to the John Deere Classic. I mean, we've already mentioned there's some big names at the head of the betting. Are there anyone out there that Star Sports are trying to get after, take on?
Fowler, I'm definitely against. I disagree with Steve with Justin Thomas. I'm still not convinced that everything's A-okay. He's not posting the finishes, whether it's just his pattern or not. I'll be against him, like I say, not good links form. And another one who's not been too hot with a flat stick recently is Henrik Stenson. We know what he can do, and obviously when he won the Open. But, I mean, three of the top five in the market, I'd be quite happy to lay this week.
Okay, so we'll go top price, industry top price with those three, will we, Glenn?
Last time I saw you, Dave, yeah, I'll do it again when I walk out of here.
Good man. Well, let's move on now then to the John Deere Classic, Steve, at TPC Deer Run. Tell us about the track first, because I think there's a little bit of rain in the area, is there?
That's it, a bit of pre-tournament rain to make it even easier than it normally is. I mean, this is always a doddle. 27 under par, won it last year. There's been a round of 59 on this course. So, yeah, this is about as easy as it gets on the US Tour.
Right, so are we expecting a real low score then to be the winning scorer? It's going to be birdies galore.
Yeah. I think last year's winning score of 27 will be threatened again. I can't see anything other than a complete birdie fest. And there's one man I fancy more than any others to produce that score.
Okay, right. Well, before we get your selection, let's get a show from Star Sports then, please. Glenn is on the line. And can we have sort of the top 15, 20 in the betting, please, Glenn?
Yeah, 50-odd six places for this one. 18-1 Victor Hovland, 20-1 Colin Morikawa, 22-1 Joachim Neiman and Sungjae Im, 25-1 Brian Harman and Matthew Wolff, 28-1 Charles Howell III and Lucas Glover, 30-1 Daniel Berger and Ryan Moore, 33 Zach Johnson, 40-1 Wyndham Clark, and 45 Cole Stanley.
Right, well, any sort of casual golf punters out there, Steve, they'll click on the betting for the John Deere Classic and think they've probably clicked on a web.com tour event with some of the names at the head of the betting there. Are you with someone near the head of the betting, or are you going a little bit further afield?
Well, I know you've been gagging for this since we started, Dave, so here it is. Yep, I am jumping aboard the Matt Wolf bandwagon. I mean, I get a lot of stick for this tip because you know, the horse has bolted, the wolf has bolted, if you will. should have been on at the big prices last week, but I was staggered that he wasn't chalked up as favourite this week. I went to the bet and just assuming that Matt Wolf would be favourite, and he wasn't. So yeah, I was obliged to get involved. I don't think it's a bad price you're getting. I mean, he is off the mark. I mean, that is a huge psychological edge. He's a US Tour champion, and those around him in the betting are not. And I don't think that's factored into the prices enough. I mean, if Wolf is going down the stretch on Sunday in a battle with any of those other market principals, he's got the edge. He'll have the most confidence to get the job done. He was a winning machine in college. I mean, nobody's done more winning than Matt Wolf over the last year or so. He's clearly got a champion's mentality. And, you know, as we talked about, the way he watched Bryson DeChambeau make that eagle and then matched him to beat DeChambeau by a shot, that was just Roy the Rover stuff. And yeah, I think Wolf's going to the top. And the weather, as we mentioned, was a big clincher for me. It's going to be soft, wide fairways, big hitters are favoured. So yeah, Wolf can just tear Deer Run apart. And yeah, I didn't understand why he was not favourite. He's got plenty left in the tank because he missed the cut, remember, in the Rocket Mortgage Classic the week before his victory. So yeah, he's got plenty left in the tank. And yeah, I see Wolf winning back-to-back titles.
And if you've never seen Matthew Wolf play, he's followed by the Wolf Pack, and they all, as Steve has just rightly highlighted, howling away from the galleries. And Glenn is now going to give us a go as well.
I am. I'm sort of going. I mean, the event here has been played at Deer Run since 1999, so about 20 outings. Steve Stricker three-peated along the way. Jordan Spieth won twice, 17 winners that time. 10 of those winners have achieved their first win on tour. So it's that sort of event. As against that, you've got to go back to 1981 to find, three non-Americans have won. So it's like young upstarts, stroke, journeymen that haven't quite got it done yet. But with all that in mind, and because of the guys at the front of the market, I am going to shoot myself in the foot a bit with my first selection. I was hoping he might be a bit bigger this week. Steve says you're getting value on Matthew Wolf, but I'm putting up Victor Hovland. I'm just impressed with the guy every single time I've seen him play.
He is a top 10 machine.
Yeah, so far. He's only played at the end of last year in the Australian Open as an amateur, and he's tied 13. Top amateur at the Masters and the US Open, which confirmed he was the world's number one amateur. The first player to compete that double since Matt Kuchar in 1998, so not bad. Footsteps to follow in. He also set a new tournament low for an amateur, beating Jack Nicklaus Mark in 1960. Turned pro, obviously, after the US Open. 54th at the Travelers was not a bad finish. In an interview after the event, he highlighted an area to improve his game for Sunday scoring, having just shot a 73. His next two events, he's finished tied 13th for both the Rocket Mortgage Classic and the 3M Open. And he shot final rounds of 64 and 65, so he's put that baby to bed straight away. Obviously, good performances in those majors. The last two events show his ability to adapt to different courses, different skill sets required for those sort of events. The last two, obviously, have been Birdie Fest. There'll be a similar requirement this week. He figures highly in lots of key stats. He hasn't got previous course form here, which has only been achieved by three guys winning here without previous course form. But he's in such good form generally. Even though he's been marked up as the favourite, I'm going to stick him up as my number one selection.
Brilliant. Steve, did you notice there that I teed Glenn up for a wolf howl and he just brushed it aside, just so nonchalantly, just not having none of it at all?
That's very sensible, Glenn.
Right, who else do you like this week, Steve?
I think Colin Morikawa may finish second. I think we'll have almost exactly the same result as we had last week. I can see a duel between Matt Wolf and Colin Morikawa. I think these are changing times. College golfers just come out of the stateside college system and they are ready to mix it with the best. Stateside college golf has never been stronger. And yeah, Morikawa and Wolf are clearly two of the best. Hovland's another one, as mentioned by Glenn there. And yeah, I think the future's bright. I see no reason why they can't reproduce what they did last week on a similarly low scoring assignment. I mean, I was watching the a bit of the 3M Open last week with my daughter, and she pointed to the screen and she goes, "Oh, there's your favourite, Daddy. There's Tiger Woods." And I thought, you know, shall I correct her? Shall I not correct her? And I didn't, because maybe that is the new Tiger Woods. I mean, Colin Morikawa, you know, similar stature, you know, both got similar temperaments, you know, both Californian. They share the same management company. Mark Steinberg has already snapped up Colin Morikawa to join his firm. So, yeah, I think Morikawa looks magnificent. Yeah, I know these are big words saying he may be the new Tiger Woods, but I certainly think he's going to have a very, very lucrative career. He finished that 3 a.m. Open in amazing style. 7 under par for his closing 12 holes. It was jaw-dropping stuff. And it's worth noting that one of his best friends, one of Morikawa's best friends, is Michael Kim, the defending champion, the John Deere defending champion. So
wire last year, didn't he? Yeah,
absolutely. Eight shot victory. So I would imagine he would have passed on, his course knowledge to his friend.
And the way you're talking, Steve, Morikawa, Wolf, and Hovland to an extent as well. Are these going to be players that we should be expecting to dominate for the years to come?
Yeah. I think there's a set of really, really top class college stars that have come out and are clearly fearless. You know, Morikawa and Wolf proved themselves last week as fearless. Hovland, we've already seen in the US Open. Again, he's got balls of steel, but he seems to have balls of steel. Justin Sir is the other one that we're still waiting to make an impression, but by all accounts, another explosive talent who will be winning soon enough. So, yeah, I just think that the strength of the stateside college system now is such that players come out ready. You know, maybe 20 is the new 25. I don't know. Yeah, these young guns are ready to win tournaments.
Okay, and who else do you like this week? I'll stick with you, Steve. We've got Wolf and Morikawa.
Got three more at bigger prices. Denny McCarthy, who we had last week, the number one putter on the US Tour. He's played well over the last fortnight. He won the Web.com Tour Championship in 2018. I think he could putt his way potentially to a maiden US Tour title this week. Wyndham Clark, I think, yeah, that's a tip that will surprise a few people. Like, you know, he ripped our souls apart last week. He teased us. He got in the lead. And then, he lost his composure. He lost his swing over those closing holes. But, you know, golf history is littered with examples of, players blowing it one week and then learning from the experience and coming straight back out the following week and, you know, with a better attitude. And I'm going to gamble on Clark, you know, doing that. I mean, the most famous example is Carl Stanley, who, you remember that one day when he made a triple bogey on the final hole of the 2012 Farmers Insurance Open. Everyone said, oh, he's finished, you know, he'll never win a tournament. And then the following week, he won the Phoenix Open. So, yeah, I think Clark is worth following one more time. He's 40 under par for his last 14 US Tour rounds. 40 under par for his last 14 rounds. And the final one is Doc Redman. Doc Redman, the massive price, 125 to 1. 2017 US Amateur Champion. He Monday qualified for the Rocket Mortgage Classic the week before last and then finished runner-up to Nate Lashley. Banked a career-changing check. I think he had a bit of a hangover last week from that. Open with a 77, second round 69, wasn't enough to make the cut. But yeah, I think Doc Redman will get going again this week.
And reading your brilliant preview in the Racing Post last week, was he almost on the list to be part of the team, Doc Redman, last week?
Yeah, I like what I saw. And he'd been doing all right on the Canadian Tour as well before that. So now obviously he's establishing himself on the US Tour. I think this course will suit. I think, make an appointment with the Doc.
And Glenn, can you give us some prices for those? Denny McCartney, Wyndham Clark and Doc Redman, please, with Star Sports.
Yeah, Wyndham Clark, 40 to 1. Doc Redman is 90 to 1. Sorry, who was the other day? I forgot already. Sorry.
And Denny McCarthy.
Denny McCarthy, 66.
66, brilliant. And you've put up Victor Hovland. Who else do you like this week, Glenn?
Yeah, I'm going for another young gun, but not quite in the brigade of leaving college at the moment. Sungjae Im, turned pro in 2015. Although he's only 22 at the moment. Applied his trade on the Japanese tour. Finished 12th on the All American in 2017 at a very young age. Went to a web.com gear school in December 17. Won the first event of the season. They're becoming the second youngest winner on that tour behind the Jason Day. Second win followed later that season, and he gained a full card to the PGA Tour. He's quickly adapted to life on the PGA Tour this season. 5 top 7 finishes already. He currently leads the tour in rounds under par, 62, which I think is a massive stat considering scoring power is what's needed this week. He's finished 7th, 21st, 21st and 15th in his last 4 starts, and he's highlighted that scoring power again. only two rounds over par in there. Similar to Victor Hovland, no course experience, but arrives here in such good form. I think he's more than capable of overcoming there. Four top tens in putts per green in regulation, allied to the aforementioned scoring power. Should see the Korean have another good tournament.
What do you think the winning score is going to be this week, Glenn?
Probably about 22, 23 under. I don't think they'll quite get to the amazing 27 of last year.
Can we expect to see a Star Sports market again for what the winning score will be? You tend to chuck that special up.
We do, yeah. Sometimes I've been about the one for next week already. Yeah, I might. The last time I was asked to dig out a market, thanks to Steve, I spent about 3 hours doing it, and I think we took one bet. So I'll see. I'll never think about it one day.
Okay, right. And has anyone joined Hovland and Im?
Yeah, I've got six again for this one as well. Fortunately, yeah, I know. I won't keep you so long. I agree with Steve. Denny McCarthy, number one putter on tour, strokes gained. Finding his feet, won the Web.com Tour Championship last year. So just playing himself in a bit of form, so I'll go with Steve on that one. The fourth one is Troy Merritt. He's currently ranked inside the top 35 in par 3, par 4 and par 5 scoring. A two-time winner on tour. Both those wins, amazingly, have come in July. So it might be something about this month that fires him up. He finished seventh last week with a good finish in the 3M Open. I was really thinking then about sticking him on my shortlist for this week. Quite pleased to see quotes of 66 to go up. Figures highly in the strokes gained putting, putts per green in regulation. I said if he can gain his third tour win, which will also be in July, expect a good show from Troy Merritt. Another young gun. Joaquin Neiman, similar profile to the other guys aforementioned. You know, hit the ground running last year with a string of high finishes. Slow start to this season, but gradually finding his way back again. Fifth in the Travelers, fifth in the Rocket Mortgage. Only 23rd last week, stumbled a little bit in the final round, possibly when he was out of contention. Expect a big week from that young man as well. And a final dart at someone a bit further down the list. Roger Sloan, the Canadian, winner on the Web.com Tour in 2014, second earlier season, the Puerto Rico Open. A recent form suggests he's finding his form on a similar sort of track to what we're going to expect this week. 21st and 15th in the last 2 weeks, obviously scoring was low. He can hit it a long way, which may benefit him this week. Ranked number one in the category at Sony Open at the start of the year. Twice ranked top six in greens in regulation and five times in the top 20 in putts per green in regulation. Very speculative to that selection. We've had the odd real upset in this event. He's around the 100-1 mark. And he has played here before, 18th place, finished in 2015. So a bit of good course knowledge from the past. A dart at Roger Sloan.
Brilliant stuff. I think we're going to have a good week this week, gents. I can feel it in my water knocking on the door. Right then, let's recap selections, main picks, Steve. John Deere Classic, who do we like?
The main pick is Matt Wolf.
Yep.
Then Colin Morikawa, Denny McCarthy, Wyndham Clark and Doc Redman.
And in the Scottish Open?
Scottish Open, Haotong Lee, Jorge Campillo, Paul Waring, Brandon Grace and Grant Forrest. And if you want bet of the week is a each way double Haotong Lee and Matt Wolf. And you can actually go up to the counter and you can say the name of Haotong Lee while doing a Matt Wolf impression and bemuse these cashiers. You can go up to the counter and go, Haotong Lee! And then if they haven't worked out you mean the Haotong Lee, Matt Wolf double, then you can explain it to them.
Okay, and Glenn, just recap us your selections, please. The John Deere Classic, you like?
Yeah, Victor Hovland, Sungjae Im, Denny McCarthy, Troy Merritt, Joaquin Neiman, and Roger Sloan.
And the Scottish?
Scottish Open, Bernd Wiesberger, Eddie Pepperell, Jorge Campillo, Matt Kuchar, Andy Sullivan, and win-only saver Rory McIlroy.
Win only, that one. Right, brilliant stuff, gentlemen. Of course, we've got the big one next week. It's the Open. Will you be joining us in the studio, Steve, for that one?
No, love. I was just about to ring my wife because my daughter's not very well, and I called you love. I always call her love. I apologise, Dave.
I've been called a lot worse. Don't worry.
I can't make that one. That's a 7-hour round trip, and I'm too busy working on the open things. Don't miss our Open Championship micro site. We've got sort of hub thing for that one. So yeah, don't miss that.
Would it be sort of live blogging and stuff from yourself during that?
All sorts of videos, live blogging, everything that's worth having will be halved.
Marvellous. Look out for that on the racingpost.com website next week. We thank you for your time, gentlemen, Glenn and Steve. Dave Alton will be joining the Racing Post TV studio for all the action this week. And his preview podcast will be on Friday. Until then, thank you and goodbye.
Give them the horn.